This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Monday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Good to be back in studio. Big thanks to West Palm Beach, Exclusive Furniture, and Academy Sports and Outdoors for last week. It was amazing. It's great to be back. We got a ton to get to today. So appreciate you tuning in. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Hello, Seth. How are you?
It's interesting that you thank the city of West Palm Beach. I don't feel like they did a damn thing for us. Exclusive Furniture and Academy, hell yeah.
Yeah, well, they're not on the same level. I shouldn't have equated, but it was a fun week in West Palm Beach. I actually like Lake Worth, which is right next to West Palm Beach.
Lake Worth is like a real place.
Yeah.
Real humans living there.
Yeah.
West Palm Beach is a fraud. It's a fraudulent Ponzi scheme of a sham city.
Yeah.
Other than that. But it was the ballpark, Cacti.
Let's just call it cacti and get it over with.
Cacti Sporting Arena of the Palm Beaches area and ensuing zip codes. Yes.
Yeah. How you doing? You're back home? You in your sorts or what? You know, like I was in the urgent care on Saturday morning, so I got right back to it when I got back home.
Did you get a sinus infection?
I did. What happened was when I was, you know, I was battling something all week. When we were in descent coming into Houston on Friday, you know, your ears start to pop and things like that. Whatever was in my skull has been pushed out to my ears, and I can barely hear out of my left ear.
Oh.
So, I'm almost deaf in my left ear. I'm partially deaf in my right ear, and I'm on antibiotics. So I meant to text you over the weekend, like, hey, man, if I don't hear something you say on Monday at some point during the show, just know it's because I literally can't hear. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So, I got you.
Yeah.
Now imagine being a 9-month-old baby and feeling that pain in your head and having no idea why.
Yeah.
Did you feel like screaming?
No. It's not. It really wasn't that pain. It was normal. The pain was normal. It's just normally when you get to land, you know, you get down on the ground, your ears pop and you can hear again.
Yeah.
That never happened. And I went to bed on Friday night.
So,
I'm like, it'll pop during the night sometime. And I woke up on Saturday. I'm like, I can't hear anything.
So you're calling the 9-month-olds wimps, basically. Or just like, okay, this wasn't really that bad. It was a little bit weird, but quit your yapping.
I feel bad for the 9-month-olds because they can't tell anybody, hey, I can't hear anything right now.
Yeah.
That was a big thing.
That's why I didn't speak until I was 3 years old, by the way. I was basically deaf. I had ear infections all the time, but I never really complained about it. It just happened because my eardrums were so stretched out.
Yeah.
So my parents didn't know that I had ear infections. But so everything that I was hearing, it was like hearing it through, like I was underwater. And I didn't speak. They thought I needed help of a different variety. And it turns out I just needed
just
to get
hear.
My ears fixed. Yeah.
Just couldn't hear.
They thought they were going to have I was going to have a different upbringing, perhaps.
Well,
I was 3 years old and I wasn't talking.
A relief. You imagine it being a relief to find out your kid can't hear. Oh, he just can't hear.
Why. He's just deaf.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
It's our little Helen Keller.
Yep. Trip over. We're back. Hell of a week out there in West Palm Beach. Did you see Jose Altuve finally got to touch the ball in left field yesterday?
It was spectacular. He had an error, but it wasn't as egregious as this is the thing. He had an error, but partly it was an error that could have been salvaged if Victor Caratini had made a catch.
It was a throwing error if you missed it.
He was running in, caught a ball in the short infield and threw it in. It was a little off the side, and then Caratini had an error after that. So it was just a bad play all around by a couple of Astros.
Yeah, so if you missed it, Altuve made his debut in left field. We got a lot of thoughts from the trip that we'll get to during the show here. We'll sprinkle them in throughout. We finally got to see Altuve in left field on Friday. This is the first show we've done since then. And he went six innings and didn't even have to move. He could have stood in the same spot for six innings and done nothing.
You got as much work as he did in left field because you were out there the entire time he was out there. You were at the left field fence.
Yeah.
And standing there without a baseball cap on. So, if anything, it was more physically grueling for you.
I was sweating.
In the outfield. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and a couple times I'm like, oh, he played four innings. He's done. So I started to go back up to the press box. And lo and behold, he starts running back out to left field for the fifth inning and then the sixth inning. Now, the sixth inning, it was nice because he exited through the bullpen. I'm like, all right, he's definitely not coming back. Thank you for not teasing me, Jose. But yeah, he didn't get to touch a ball on Friday, so that made the questions afterwards pretty interesting. Like, I don't know how I did in left field. I'll let you know when I. Yeah, and then yesterday, throwing error on the first time he touched the ball. Ball goes through Luis Guillorme's legs and rolls out to left field. He scoops it up and throws home to a guy trying to score, and it wasn't the greatest throw. Yeah, maybe Caratini could have saved him if he could have gotten up the line and blocked it at least, kept it in front of him. But then he made a nice catch in the outfield, Jose did, man, going up against the fence. So we didn't get a huge taste of him out there, but,
one of the funniest TBD. Things was at the very beginning of the game, Sean and I were standing out there and the third base foul line fence there. No. And right before the game started, a couple of the umps came out just to be sure Altuve was okay. Yeah. They kind of jokingly said, "You all right, man?" Maybe they didn't know. Maybe they didn't know that he was playing left field that day. Oh no, they looked at the lineup. But before the game started. Got to be kind of weird for those guys to see Altuve out there for the first time in their career.
What was your favorite thing from the week, baseball wise, not non baseball wise, like baseball wise?
I think probably it wasn't like a poignant moment or anything, but Paredes and Christian Walker showing their competitive at-bats, all those things about them, that they're both got great judgment at the plate, which is one of the things that Espada is emphasizing this year. I liked seeing them and liked seeing them get on base multiple times. Neither of them, when in the games we were at, showed anything magnificent defensively. You know, Christian Walker is a very good fielder, but he looked like he was still getting the kinks out a little bit. And then I guess the other one would just be John Singleton's body transformation, and because of that, he does look more fluid and athletic at first base.
Yeah.
Hopefully Christian Walker plays 162 games and you never have to see John Singleton at first base, but as a pinch hitter and as a guy that can be the backup, I feel better about him on a very small sample size as a backup first baseman this year than I felt about any of these starting or backup first baseman last year. One of which was a fat John Singleton.
I wish the ceiling were higher for what Singleton is supposed to provide this year, because otherwise it'd be an amazing story. It's a great story already just because of what it's taken to get him here. If you're in Houston, Jonathan Singleton's story is way more about, it's way more than just a guy who wasn't very good last year and now he's in good shape. Like, it's been a decade-long saga. But I wish the ceiling for him was more than backup pinch hitter first baseman, because then it would be if he were going to get on the field more, it'd be an incredible story.
I feel like you're being greedy. Yeah, like listen, this is what you're being greedy. So I think that just him being a competent batter and a competent first baseman, I think that's like winning the Olympics for him, given where he had been and where we've been at first base for the last couple of years. The fact that if he's a competent backup first baseman, I'm going to be stoked about it. And in a reliable pinch hitter that you can bring as a lefty, yes, I feel good about that. And I also feel like an idiot for not mentioning Cam Smith as my favorite part of
the time we were there.
That was 100%. It was 100% Cam Smith.
Yeah, two bombs. Dana Brown so far, I mean, it's a week and a half into spring training, but I would say if we're doing winners and losers, I'm feeling pretty good about all three things that came back in the Kyle Tucker trade. Like you pointed it out, Seth, Paredes, good plate discipline. Hit a bomb on Friday when we were there.
Yeah.
So that looks good. You know, so far so good on that one. Wisniewski was a little up and down, but I thought more up than down in his outing that we were there for on Tuesday. I don't know if we've seen him pitch. I don't recall if I wasn't following super closely. Wisniewski.
Yeah, we saw him.
No. Did he pitch this weekend? I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was going to say if he pitched this weekend. He didn't pitch yesterday. But the outing that we saw from him on Tuesday was pretty good. And then, as you point out, Cam Smith, two bombs. Cam Smith to me was the big story of the week that we were there. That was really cool to see. And I thought the pitching overall has been good. Like, there's some good stories in the bullpen. Like, Forrest Whitley's had two clean innings, and Taylor Scott looks like he did last year. Van Wy. He had another scoreless inning yesterday. So Spoh's looking pretty smart. And pitching is always ahead of hitting this time of year. Things are looking pretty good on the pitching front too. So that was
Blanco's
good.
Struggling a little bit.
A little bit.
The biggest thing
about me
Blanco,
off the ledge on Blanco right now.
This is where I'm relaxing on Blanco a little bit. For one, just because it's spring training, but two, he's a really hard worker. And one of the things he's talked about in spring training was backing off a little bit on how much he works out in season to make it through an entire season. Because we saw it last year, he played like an all-star in the first half of the season. Then he struggled a little bit and then got back on track. But he also did a lot less in the off season than he typically does. He didn't do winter ball where he's played a lot in the past. So I could see where he says his arm feels fresh right now, but he might not be as sharp as he typically
Rusty.
Feels.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he is focusing on throwing more strikes and really attacking the strike zone. Cause he walked more guys than the rest of his stats were superb last year. He was at one point a 190 batting average against him all year long. It was really good. But he had hit a pretty high walk rate. So I think all of that to say that I think this is a classic. Hey, he's changing his methodology up a little bit, and he's getting the kinks out in spring training.
As long as they're still, like, you know me, Seth, as long as they're still striking guys out, I'm like, all right, especially this time of year, they're probably just he struck out four guys in two innings yesterday. So, like, in February, or I guess we're in March now, early March, if he's, you know, two innings, if he struck out four guys, whatever happened the rest of the time, I just write it off to experimentation. Like, he's working on something. Or, as you said, that's a good point, he's probably shaking off rust. I didn't know that he wasn't doing anything this offseason. He was just chilling.
I mean, it's not like he did nothing, but he didn't play winter ball.
Just chilling
like
and being Ronel Blanco, man. He's like,
right.
What are you doing
well,
this offseason?
Yeah.
I'm being Ronel Blanco.
I mean, he's pitched way more innings as a starter than he ever has before, so it's a big transition.
Makes sense. All right, we're off and running. We're back. Good to be back in studio. Quick programming note. In studio tomorrow at 8 a.m., new Texans team president, Mike Tolman, will be in studio with us at 8 o'clock tomorrow. So all the things on that business side of the building, stadiums and things like that, we'll get a chance to talk firsthand in studio tomorrow with Mike Tolman, so make a note about that. 8 a.m. tomorrow on Tuesday. All right, big trade in the NFL. Actually, not a big trade in terms of what got exchanged draft pick-wise, but Deebo Samuel is on his way to Washington. I feel like this is as much a Texans topic as it is a Commanders topic. This Deebo trade was a big topic among Texan fans this weekend. Do you feel like the Texans missed out? Do Texan fans feel like they missed out? Put up a poll. We'll tell you what the results were coming up next.